Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The apostles weren't the first to see the risen Jesus. Mary Magdalene, as we just heard, has that honor. But their witness to him and his resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Our faith is founded on the faith of the apostles. That's what St. Peter says in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. He says, "This man God raised on the third day, and granted that he be visible not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead." He says they were witnesses chosen by God in advance. Sometimes when we read the Gospels and see how slow the apostles were to believe, how much they struggled with pride and selfishness and wanting to be first and more important than others, we might wonder, why did he choose these guys? Maybe because he knew once they believed, they would be outstanding witnesses. What makes for an outstanding witness? I think a Christian witness must be someone who loves. They must love Jesus. But even more importantly, they must be someone who has let themselves be loved by Jesus. Maybe this is where the apostles excelled. Maybe precisely because they were so difficult during his earthly life, Peter, most of all. When they were confronted with the risen Jesus, they could have kept trying to impress him as who's the best, to prove to them why they were better than the others. But we see something different instead. Instead of trying to best each other, we see them loving and supporting each other. John beats Peter to the tomb, but then he waits for Peter to go in first. Maybe that's because when the risen Jesus appeared to them, his resurrection light shone right through their facade of, "Jesus, look how good and important I am." And they were able to see just how selfish and self-centered they were. How little their particular gifts mattered in the light of the risen Christ. But here's the thing. In that moment of realization, with the glory of the risen Christ revealing how little they were, they could have collapsed and wallowed in self-pity. They could have praised Christ and pretended that they understood all along. They could have become the greatest people pleasers, trying to do everything right to please Jesus. But what I think what happened was that in the glorious light of the risen Christ, they saw themselves for the selfish frauds they were, and they let their guards down so completely that the love of Christ was able to wash their selfish pretenses away. The love of Christ was able to wash their selfish pretenses away. And they became the greatest witnesses because they let the love of Christ love them so completely. Look at Mary Magdalene. Before she encounters Jesus, she can't stop weeping. She loved him, felt like she had lost him. And her earthly grief that has no hope gets in the way of her recognizing him, gets in the way of letting herself be loved by him until he breaks through her blindness. "Mary, Mary, let my love, which reaches beyond this world to eternity, wash away your grief." Look at Peter and the beloved disciple. They hear that the body of Jesus is missing, and they immediately run to the tomb. And the beloved disciple got there first, maybe because he's younger or faster. Or many have thought that maybe it was because he loved more deeply. But I think it's hard to say that Peter didn't love as deeply as any of the apostles. Notice rather how the gospel describes this disciple. He was beloved. Maybe he ran faster because he let himself be loved more fully. And the love of Christ spurred him on. Maybe he was the only apostle to believe before seeing the risen Christ, precisely because he let himself be loved so deeply that he had received Christ's love more fully. John's gospel describes this beloved disciple as the model witness. Why? Certainly because of his faith. But maybe his faith was so great because he let himself be loved so fully. The first letter of John, traditionally attributed to this beloved disciple, says that love consists in this: not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. Love consists in being loved, in being the beloved. Being a witness to the faith, first and foremost, requires letting ourselves be loved by Him. St. Paul says that faith begins at baptism, when the love of God is poured into our hearts. Could someone describe you as a beloved disciple? Could you describe yourself as a beloved disciple? What gets in the way of letting yourself be loved by Christ? Are we ready to let that facade of being a good little boy and a good little girl go? Because we're not. We're sinners. Always in need of the Savior. And when we embrace that, then we're ready to truly realize our only salvation is His love. So here's the homework for the week. This week, beg the love of Christ to wash away all selfish pretenses so that nothing gets in the way of letting yourself be loved by Him. And then share that joy, the joy of the risen Christ's love, with everyone you meet.